Welcome to the PodTech.net Entrepreneurship Podcast with the CEO of Barracuda Networks, Dean Draco. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Good to be here.
We do podcasts of a variety of topics, Chief Technology Officer, Silicon Valley, but you know, one particular channel on PodTech is our entrepreneurship channel, which is ranked number 7 on iTunes under the business category. So it's very popular. A lot of people subscribe to it.
Okay.
And I think you've been an entrepreneur. I don't think you've been an entrepreneur. Started a company from scratch, had some great success with it, had an exit outcome. You've started Barracuda with other entrepreneurs. You've self-financed this company.
Correct.
You just recently announced a $40 million financing, which is more expansion capital, not necessarily you need the money.
Right.
Talk about entrepreneurship for the entrepreneurs out there and folks who teach entrepreneurship and just people interested in entrepreneurship. What's it take to be successful these days? Obviously, Barracuda was formed in the darkest hours of Silicon Valley and post-bubble, no financing. You self-financed it. Talk about your experiences and what you can share with the group.
So, you know, entrepreneurship takes a certain kind of belief or a certain commitment because it's, you know, it's a lot of work. It's not the 9-to-5 job with the nice benefits. That's not what you get by being an entrepreneur. But one of the key things for being an entrepreneur is belief in what you're doing, right? The successful entrepreneurs are the people who are very, very committed and believe very, very strongly in what they are doing and how they're going to do it and what is best. So if you look at entrepreneurs, they're not, you know, it's not a job. It's much more of a mission, you know, and that may be a little too strong, but it's, you know.
Self-consuming.
It's self-consuming, but it's something that they truly believe in, and they're not willing to be dissuaded, okay, by a lot of naysayers. When I started my first company, I made a terrible mistake, and I had this product idea. I knew it was a brilliant product, and I knew that it could be successful, and I could make good money and make a company out of it. I was very, very young. Okay, I was, you know, I don't know, 5 or 6 years out of college. Had no real business experience. I was, you know, an engineer. And so I went to 2 or 3 of, you know, the people who were older than me and I respected and who were managers and had good business experience. And, you know, I said, hey, here's my idea. You know, this is why I think it's going to be great. You know, I think I should really just, you know, quit my job and go start a company and, you know, go do this. And what I got back was a lot of, you know, negative feedback. Oh, you know, that's a niche market. You know, is how much are people really going to pay for that? Somebody's doing it already. You know, there's big companies in that business. You know, and they'll just, you know, they'll see that you're doing it, and then they'll just crush you. You know. Anyway, all kinds of, you know.
Reasons not to do it. Talking you down.
Yeah.
Get down from the Golden Gate Bridge. Don't jump.
And that was, and so I didn't go and do it. I waited. Okay. I waited basically a year, okay, which I wasted, you know, just kind of continuing look at the idea, work on it a little bit, but I didn't
rely on other people that weren't as close to you. But
okay. And then finally, after a year, came to my senses and committed, okay, and started the company, and you know it was very quickly very successful. It was a bootstrap company, had no outside funding. The first customer was Sun Microsystems, who wrote me a very large check within 2 months of starting the company. And then I eventually built that into a very large company and sold it to Cadence Design Systems. But you know, the naysayers are always going to be there, and the majority of people are going to naysay what the entrepreneur wants to go do. They're going to find issues with it. And you have to be strong enough and believe enough in what you're doing in order to power through the naysayers.
What made you just move? What made you move and how did that go down? You just said, I'm done, I'm going for it?
Well, I don't remember, in all honesty, that far back. But there is an interesting perspective that I've taken since then, or maybe I
or
even had
learned.
It then. And that is, you always regret the things that you don't do much more than the things that you do do. Okay? And I believe that that's true in my life, and that I have a lot more regrets about the things that I, you know, didn't do. And so that has been a thing that has gotten me over the many, many hurdles over the year of basically just going for it and going to do it. Because, you know, there's nothing worse than having regrets that you didn't try, right? If you try and you fail and you try and you fail, right, you're probably not going to regret that because you tried. If you don't try, right, you'll probably, you know, 10, 20, 30 years later, you're going to be having regrets that you actually didn't give it.
A lot of the naysayers will on entrepreneurship and starting a venture will say, oh, that's been done before. People are doing it. You do it. Big companies will crush you. They just copy you. There's no real advantage there. But don't you think, and a question for you, don't you think it's about the people? Because ideas, everyone kind of has the same ideas. It's about executing it. And then
it is much more about execution than it is the idea. There are, I don't know how many people there are on the planet now, 4 billion, 6 billion? A tremendous amount of people on planet Earth. Okay, if you think you are the first one to actually have an idea, okay, the chances of that are so remotely low, okay, that it's pretty unlikely. However, you're probably and very might well be the first one that actually tries to execute on the idea, because most people will have the idea and they won't do anything about it. Okay, but the interesting thing about, you know, looking at the competitive landscape or people saying, oh, somebody else is doing that, or oh, that idea has been tried, the key thing for a successful entrepreneur, okay, is not the idea, is it's not even so much the execution, although execution is very important. It is finding a customer, okay, and solving the customer's problem. Too many entrepreneurs basically look are a technology or a solution looking for a problem, okay? And what you have to do is you actually have to approach it the other way, and you basically have to find a problem and solve the problem, and then you have a business. If you can find somebody who has a problem, okay, and they're willing to pay money to get the problem fixed, and they're willing to talk to you about the problem and how they, you know, could have it, need it to be fixed, and you go and create a solution to that problem, okay, you will be far more likely to be successful than if you sit in a vacuum and think, oh, this is a great idea, wouldn't this be cool, and isn't this whizzy, and isn't this great? Okay, let's go build it, and then let's go try and find a customer. Find the customer before you build the product, okay, because then you know you got a customer. Don't go and build it and then try and find a customer.
You got to control your own destiny, like we were talking earlier. That's a good point. Let's segue off that point of getting the customer to one of the things I think that if you look at what you've done as an mm-hmm. entrepreneur, a huge success, I think what would categorize you is obviously technical, even technical
yes.
Orientation. But more importantly, you've bootstrapped. You've grown companies from scratch
yes.
with not a lot of outside, what I would call capital market money, meaning venture capital, or other, although you've done that before.
Right.
But and that's a big thing, and not a lot of people talk about that, the bootstrapping, the art of bootstrapping.
It's not talked about much in Silicon Valley anymore because there's so many venture capital firms and so much money that it's, you know, a lot of stuff gets done without the old-fashioned bootstrap.
But now we're living in an age now where you don't need the big venture capital money.
That is actually a very interesting comment, because it is very possible now to do all kinds of companies, especially internet or network-based or software companies, with very little capital and get them started. You may not be able to execute as quickly had you had a large amount of capital, but it does make for a more likelihood of success, because you don't have all this money that you're spending potentially wastefully.
Well, let's talk about the upstart process in booting mm-hmm. up a company. Most people think that if you bootstrap, you'll need to get financing to really build out. And that's clearly the case. I mean, if there's an expansion mode and it happens fast, there's a role for venture capital, obviously,
right.
and so on and so forth. But Barracuda is a great example of a company that's been growing extremely fast. And
right.
you've self-financed it, you've bootstrapped it, you reinvested that money. Talk about the successes that you've had over the years, including Barracuda, the art of bootstrapping. What's your view and what's your advice to others out there in terms of that process?
Well, it kind of comes back to the thing I was talking about, finding the customer who's got the problem. Right, if you can find a customer who's got the problem, a problem, and is willing to pay for it, right, what you have to do is figure out how to deliver them something, okay, inexpensively that solves that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in our particular case, you know, or in you know any particular case, you know, customer's got a spam problem. Okay, well, you know, how can you deliver them something that you know solves their problem at a reasonable investment level? From you know the people trying to get the company off the ground, you know, do you have to go and you know do a year worth of coding development with 10 developers and have a factory that manufactures boxes and you know does everything to deliver to that first customer? Well, you know, maybe that customer's needs aren't as all that great. Maybe they just need a very little simple solution, and you can deliver that to them with a much smaller investment. Okay. And you know you can work on it for 3 or 6 months. You know, get some you know readily available.
Don't
kind
boil.
Of
so you're saying is don't boil over the ocean.
Yeah.
Address their needs. Give them good enough pieces that you can get paid on that you can reinvest in the company.
Correct. And then you'll find relatively quickly that you'll be able to find other customers who are willing to accept that similar solution, even though it's not a full solution, right? And maybe even it's you know it's half baked, okay, when you're starting out. But that allows you to actually get some of the revenue and capital necessary and the sales momentum, which is even more important.
It's an ecosystem. Let's talk about the entrepreneurship ecosystem from building a company. And that's great. The customers are a key thing because it does create a domino effect of multiple things. But let's talk about first culture. Mm-hmm. Culture is a very important part. You know, you can't just go hire your friends. I mean, not everyone's making a lot of money. It takes the leadership at the CEO, the founder level. How can you? What advice can you give to folks out there about culture? You know, putting that stake in the ground, defining it from day one. You know, hey, no one's going to make half of what they're making, or not make any money at all.
Yeah.
How do you deal with stock options, incentives? How do you motivate people? How do you get that going?
Well, you know, in the initial stages, right, when you're very very small, you're you know 3 or 4 people, and you know hopefully they're inherently motivated. Right, because it's their company, it's their project, it's their universe, and you know they're probably not getting paid, right? And so you know that takes a certain leap of faith, right? That many people are uncomfortable doing. That you know I'm going to go without pay for you know 3 months or 6 months or a year. And you know that scares a lot of people because they're kind of like, well, what happens at the end of the 3 months if we're not successful? What do I do? And you know the answer is, well, you can always go get a job, right? You know, provide the job markets are reasonable. But the culture that normally will that it needs to be ingrained. One of the other cultural aspects that is pretty important in kind of doing the startup or the bootstrap is. Cost consciousness, right? And that's something that during the boom period of the internet, when money was being freely, when money and investors were freely available, cost consciousness kind of got a little bit lost in the entrepreneurship and the startup area. But that's kind of come full circle now, and you know, it's a lot about being very cost conscious, not wasting money. Making sure that every penny you spend and every dollar you spend is actually effective. You know, you don't go and invest in fancy offices or fancy equipment or buying computer equipment that you don't really need or hiring people that are not going to deliver on the bottom line just because, you know, that's the way it's done or that's the way people think it should be done. You know, every dollar you spend has to be looked at and show, and you have to look at how it's going to deliver revenue and customers to you. And nothing else really matters on your spending, right? You need to spend where you're going to generate revenue.
Yep. So obviously getting back to the customer focus. So, you know, be tight with the cash, precious commodity. I mean, cash is, you know, financing at a bootstrap level. I mean, it's not like you're going to be spending it around.
Well, you're living hand to mouth.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want it. You could go under. I mean, this is what entrepreneurs think about. I mean, mm-hmm. You could actually go under.
Well, and the fact that's a tough scare. And the fact that you could go under on any day or any week is very motivating, okay, because it basically creates an environment where, you know, the group of founders is working extremely hard because you can see, you know, that you could go under very, very quickly.
It can be done, as you mentioned. It can be done. You've done it many times. And I think, you know, what you're saying about every dollar needs to be looked at in terms of driving revenue and customers.
Yeah. And it, you know, most of these things apply to whether you're venture funded or whether you're bootstrapping. They're a little stronger when you're bootstrapping because you don't have a bank account or a cushion to fall back on.
Well, I mean, even if you want to go venture capital right out of the box, you'll still need to get a prototype. You still need to kind of get the idea. You need to get some validation.
That's true.
And you need to get someone to say, a customer, I'll pay for it.
Correct.
I mean, the days are over where people got funded for ideas.
Correct. That's true.
What about your advice to folks teaching entrepreneurship and out there? We get a lot of people who teach entrepreneurship to future entrepreneurs out there. Do you think entrepreneurship is taught, can be taught, or are you born with it? Do you think people can learn how to be an entrepreneur? It's kind of like one of my favorite entrepreneur question.
Yeah, I believe that, you know, almost anyone can learn almost anything, provided they're motivated. So entrepreneurship is really about risk-taking. And so, you know, the people who are extremely risk-averse, okay, and unwilling to go without a paycheck and unwilling to deal with the risks associated with that, you know, it's harder for them to go and become entrepreneurs because they're looking for the safe way to be an entrepreneur. And, you know, that doesn't really happen very often, right? It happens now and again, but not particularly often. It's not a particularly safe thing to do because, you know, I don't know what the statistics are, but, you know, if you look at the number of businesses that are started in the United States that fail within the first year, right, it's, you know, something like 80%, okay? So all these businesses are started and the majority of them fail. You know, I'm sure the numbers for Silicon Valley and, you know, places where technology is dominant are probably very different, but it is kind of a little bit sobering to realize that, you know, a lot of people try and don't succeed.
Great stuff. Dean Draco, very famous, successful entrepreneur here in Silicon Valley who understands how to start companies from scratch, bootstrap them, self-finance them, and grow them to huge valuations. And soon to be, I won't say public, but I'd say...
even more successful at Barracuda Networks.
Even more successful at Barracuda. Well, final advice for the folks out there, for entrepreneurs. Quick bumper sticker advice to them about anyone contemplating on starting a venture. How would you advise them?
I mean, the advice I always, you know, a lot of people come to me and ask me, you know, for advice, and, you know, I say just do it, just go and try, you know, and if that doesn't work, you try something else, and if that doesn't work, you try something else, and, you know, after four or five times, you know, maybe you give up, but, you know, if you're at four or five times, you'll probably have found some success, so just keep trying.
Great stuff, Dean. Thanks for the podcast.
Thank you.